TH. Continuation with this Eastern point of view that I did yesterday or day before. So, standing here and looking at the world with new eyes, fresh eyes, freed from the cultural bias I have inherited, just as most of us have. I look at that country on the island overseas there, the United States, well, it's like there are many countries in one way, but any case, if I should be very unbiased and I would say it's a rather primitive country over there. And since I hear some of you laughing when I say this, let me explain. Because it really takes some mental, intellectual emancipation to understand this, I guess. A culture, what is an advanced culture, what is a primitive culture? It's about the knowledge that upholds that culture, the collected wisdom through thousands of years. And that's how it is in many Eastern cultures. Well, even here where I live up in North Scandinavia, well, this culture I belong to, goes back to, what is it? Somewhere before Christ or whatever, but before that there was an older culture here going back to like 10,000 years ago or so. What they now call prehistory, as if it happened before time. But yes, the United States of America, you know, the people there, who of course came and took over that place from other people and basically threw them out or threw them into camps, larger, comfortable prisons. They, of course, came from all over Europe. but were, I would believe at least, not really the top intellectuals or leaders of European societies, but ordinary folks who came there to seek their fortune, like from here in Sweden. Many went there because times were bad here and they were starving. And, well, that's what it was. But then they found lots of natural resources and all of that. So it, gold also, and it started to grow there. And they were getting good at making money and, of course, shooting guns, because that's how you defended your money and all that, your home. And we saw the Western movies, right? I'm right now looking at a modern Western series, Yellowstone, where kind of it repeats the same thing. And there you see rather gross, I would say primitive people walking around with guns, fighting each other as soon as there's some reason for it. Hard, heavy, ready to take to the fists at any time. Not very cultured. And yes, now let's look back at the USA. The way it was when I grew up, I was born 55, 10 years after the World War II ended. And you know what happened then was, now of course, well, the U.S. sometimes, I heard them taking credit for winning the Second World War II, but now we need to get real here. They came in at the end, one invasion, and everything was already set up for them. The Russians had just defeated the Germans and were on their way to Berlin. But anyway, then what happened was, because the US had not been fighting the Second World War all the way through, and it has not been attacked and not invaded anything, it was still intact whilst Europe was in ruins. Down there, England, France, Germany, so on. Up here in Scandinavia, it was a little better in Sweden, having been neutral and of course, as Swedes do, I've managed to support the right side at the right time. Switching a little bit here and there as circumstances dictated. But then the USA landed some big business with the whole world as its customers. They had industry, work power. Still, most of their young men and women alive. And so, big business, big dollars. Richest, greatest nation in the world. Leading nation of the world. Well, that's how they themselves saw it. And you know, that's what I'm talking. What is primitive, what is not? What is cultured and developed and what is not? When you all of a sudden get rich and end up in a powerful position, then what do? I know some old rich families, just a little bit, but at least know about them. In Asia, there are some very old, very, very rich families. But, and some aristocracy here, I have some friends who are from such families. Those people are very rich, but they don't show it. Or they show it very in modest ways. And they know, because they are cultured people. How to use their opulences, their riches. And I would say they may even learn humility. That yes, you're born into this fine family by the mercy of God. Now you take that responsibility, be grateful and stay humble, because ultimately we're all the same, rich or poor. That's what I call culture, and to this extent, it is just common sense knowledge prevails and kind of upholds and dominates a society, then it is cultured. That attitude, and even in power positions, it's said here, the king is a king by the mercy of God. In other words, well, someone could take it that he's as good as God. But a cultured king, also guided by actually wise and learned and cultured people, teachers, intellectuals, who were then often priests and monks and nuns. That were truly spiritually learned. And that's again what cultured means. That you're spiritually mature and wise. You know, they're in the soul where you are and where God is. And then there are those who just not very intelligently, I would say, deny the existence of God and even the soul. We are just bodies moving around. AI robots. But that's another issue. But you know, when you have such people, that now on one hand we have described a little bit a cultured person or such people. And yes, if they are in leadership positions, if you are truly such a person, because even though it might today seem even impossible and naive to think that such persons could even exist, because leaders are not like that, well, what Peter says about Paul says more about Peter than about Paul. So people who presume that such culture people can't exist, what to speak of being in leadership positions, well, then you are not a culture person either, because if you were, then such persons exist, right? But anyway, those who are born into powerful families where that power is not just a, wow, look, I got a bunch of power I can play around with, but it's an inheritance. It's a responsible position that has been upheld, you could say, not just as a, necessarily as a boon, a privilege. We, of course, some would see it that way, but then they're kind of losing that culture. But while that culture is upholding, such people would think, yes, it's a burden on our family, that responsibility. But we have to uphold it. We can hardly, like a royal family back in the days, you can't have a normal, private, relaxed life, hardly, because you're born into a position upon which the entire nation depends. So many people. So again, if you're a culture that you know how to, and you have advisors around you who know how to uphold that position, not by force that I'm going to stay in power no matter what, but upholding it in the sense of being able to fulfill that obligation successfully, to do the job. And just as with all difficult positions, when you do, it's a great, even greater blessing, because then you will have a whole nation of people who loves you. Who loves you. Because you're taking care of them. You give them their food and their homes and the security in their nation. But today, well, we know it's not exactly like that. Always, at least. So, why am I saying that the great, fantastic empire there in the West is a primitive culture? Well, because that's how they behave. I mean, if you just take this culture, and then we can imagine there, if you can't see it in front of you, the old Chinese, Japanese, Indian people there, beautiful temples and palaces. And then you have over there the cowboys, the cows and horses and guns and cars. And because you know what happened was that after that Second World War, when of course the people over there immediately started taking advantage, because they started becoming very rich and their dollar became dominant in the world, and then oil was there and the whole thing started. They quickly started to see themselves as the empire of the world, which should be the only one. Number one ruler of the earth. But no, there was another one over there in the east called Soviet Union. Not only that, but a kind of network of different countries belonging to another form of political system called communism, socialism. So, of course, they cannot be bigger than us. So, war, and they call it the Cold War. A funny kind of war when you think about it. Building a whole pile of bombs, of which just a fraction of them could basically erase human civilization on Earth. That started, cost a lot. Even the tests of those bombs started poisoning the planet, people getting cancer more and more, not knowing why. Well, they had to stop those tests. They realized, oops, we're making the world radioactive. No, it wasn't us, it was the other ones. So, you know, that's how it went on. And with the start of the era of industrialization, technology had started to become the greatest commodity and the, what everyone needed. Machines with machines we can work more effectively. We don't need so many of those fragile and complaining workers. Yeah, technology. So the tech age started, and that's where we are now. But in a funny other era that gradually it slipped into, we need machines not only to do the heavy lifting, the big work, and make more people unemployed, but we need to produce something to sell to those people. Well, once they've got a job. So let's make little nifty machines we can play with. Yes, that's great. We found the solution. We already have our old colonialism. The colonies are still there, although we made them less visible. Now they work for us to produce dirt cheap machines. Well, the machines we use for our production. Or why don't they produce for us? So even that irritating human factor, our fragile people who need food and home and complain sometimes. Well, that's done over there in that other country too, and let their leaders deal with the human rights problem. Great idea. So yeah, great ideas, and that's why we are number one, the greatest. So yeah, lots of money being produced over there. Well, and lots of things being bought cheap and sold expensively over there, or from over there, to all of us. Made in America, that's the real thing. Made in Japan, oh, that's the crap. This way it went on. And when I was a kid, I said sometimes, because I could see it into the future, that one day we wouldn't call it Japan crap anymore, which we did back then, even with kids in the 60s. But since they are producing and producing also for the Americans, they're getting better at it, and one day they might be the best, which they were one day. And now it's called China crap instead. Well, used to be, because now some of us, those of you us who are a little bit more awake, thinking for ourselves and looking at the world outside of the Western mainstream media box, may have noticed that the Chinese crap is not crap anymore. And yes, we hear the voice from the West. That's because they are just copycats stealing our inventions. But we are always doing the best quality stuff, which is, again, produced in China, but by Americans. And therefore, you should buy American. So yeah, that's good for you Americans, and I wish you a nice future. But I also wish all the people of the world, in whatever countries they live in, the best future. But let's stick with those folks over there, overseas in the West. Because there's one thing we need to get a little clear about here is, what does it mean to be great, to be advanced? Well, we then often speak about culture. Now, in the West here, and maybe especially over there in the very West, culture has come to mean what? Music, art, movies. Oh, where are they made? Hollywood. Oh, but they are losing the grip now, so let's forget about them for a while. But you know, that kind of culture, rock and roll. So yeah, I mean, that we have to give them that. They gave us rock and roll. Of course, that came from the blacks, came from Africa. They have a real good, cool music culture there. Of course, the whites over there in the West, they copied that. So they were basically copycats, but and then we can go on martial arts movies. Where did that martial art come from? Of course, China. So yeah, and Disney, that's culture. That's US culture. That's what's made them legendary. Now, of course, they had something there called democracy, which we had here also, but which I think they took more seriously there, the freedom of the individual, and we vote, and the majority decides, that kind of thing, and a legal system that upholds that. But then we saw what happened with that. They even openly call themselves an oligarchy now, which again, I would say that those of us with open eyes can all see. I sometimes call it the Hollywood democracy. And I think that's a pretty good way of expressing it. But the culture, how can I say that these people, that nation over there, is a primitive nation? Do I mean to call them a third world nation? But they're the leaders of the world. What are you talking about, you fool? Well, I am talking about culture, how to be cultivated, what it really means. It means spiritual culture, human character qualities, of being benevolent, honest, friend of other living beings, a win-win person. And see, that's the in case you think I'm just dreaming totally here, that's the ideals for a leader, especially someone leading big time, like a country or so, king or emperor, because that's what they had over there in China and India and all in Asia thousands of years. Their job is to make sure that their people is happy, all of them. Everyone has a home, food on the table, basic necessities taken care of, and being inspired to work according to their natures and qualities, and also being given that work for a fair salary and so on, and also that they should be feeling safe, crime being kept away, mainly by making sure everyone had their basic necessities, which means you don't need to go out and steal and rob and do crime or sell drugs on the street. Because people generally don't want to do that. That they want to have a good time with their friends and family. Enjoy life. And that's why they need the money and all that that they get from crime and also drug dealing and so on, right? So start with making everyone in your society having what they need. Not just you and your bodies getting richer and richer, which we can see. You just need to check the financial status, payroll of the politicians today here in Sweden too. And you will be surprised how much those glorious politicians who care so much about us are making a month, a year, and how they live. So again, oligarchy rules, sometimes disguised as democracy, because we are allowed to vote for that oligarch or the other oligarch or that Hollywood character or the other one as the leader, the great leader of the world or the nation. Of course, basically the same gang would be behind it still. And if that president or prime minister or whatever is trying to do, or government's trying to do something outside of that, then sorry, can't do that. So yeah. But, you know, again, since you probably don't believe that I'm talking about something real, let's then keep that image of a cultured leader, cultured society in mind as a thought experiment, if nothing else. This is how we would want a leader of a society, or leaders of a society to be, right? Cultured in that sense. Of not being greedy and only thinking about themselves and their bodies and families, but about, you know, not thinking me and you, but us. I'm one of us, You are too. Let's make sure that all of us are living a happy life here. And you can trust me, not trustworthiness, that I'm going to do it, not just talking about it. That's a real leader, and then does it. And people say, yes, I got a job now, it was a good job, and I'm getting a fair income, which allows me to buy all my food, make ends meet, make my wife and children, or husband and children happy too, and we have a home, look, and we can have a little nice furniture here, maybe even a garden. These are, you know, if we want to talk human rights, these are the actual human rights. Not some fine thing that you basically just throw around, human rights, which basically means that you should treat people the way we want, that you should treat people, and if you don't, then we will attack you and kick you off your position and take over your country. And we will make human rights there by destroying your country completely, but that's another story. But what we do with our people, if they have homes and food and healthcare and all that, that's not your problem, okay? Because we have something here that you don't have, which is the most important, and that is human rights. So, you know, that's the way the story is going there in the mainstream media, owned by those very same people. And it may seem that, oh, this is so smart, everyone fell for it. Everyone is now humbly bowing there at the feet of the great world leader, leaders ready to put their hard-earned tax money into producing weapons or buying from those world leaders, of course, to fight the bad guys and die for it. Fight to the last man. What for? To defend our country? Well, no one really attacked our country, but they could in the future if we don't kill them first by helping the big leader of the world, the good one, in their war for peace. Because as we know, war is peace and peace is war. So, can you see where I'm trying to get here when I'm saying primitive or cultured? Because when you have, and you just need to look to see, country here or there, which is run by, overtly or covertly, it's hard to cover these days, because the big problem for the here now is this open alternative media on this internet, which is really so difficult to control. You can't even censor it properly, because actually the internet is about free speech. And whether you censor your great social media continent, where you have almost been able to make everyone locked in your ecosphere, there are people outside of that on the free internet saying whatever they want. And it's really hard to close down their servers because they move around. distributed systems. Whew. So, you know, that's the world today. It's a dramatic, there's a drama going on here. It's quite entertaining when you follow it. But I just wanted to say that when you find first of all, that your leaders, the ones who you voted for, if you are in one of those countries, who promise to take care of you and give you everything you need, make life better for you, then nothing much happens. They anyway only stay 4 years or so, and that's why, of course, they told you all that, so they would get into office for 4 years. And then it's the next guy's fault. But if you find that they get richer and richer, and more people in your country are getting homeless, poorer, overburdened by loans, debt, and so on. We don't need to make that list longer here to depress you all. But if you find yourself living in such a country where, of course, you see on your media that your government is just great, I mean, it's the greatest in the world, then, yeah, maybe think again. And look at what that government is doing, how it is actually acting, not what it's saying on those good-looking posters when it's time for election or in all those social media posts, these alternative media video channels and so on, and podcasts are more interesting because they are often not under the control of some big, powerful corporation, but they are independent. So look at them. Look at us. But again, when the people, and then I speak about the general collective mind, you could say, and I know I'm generalizing, but I'm also speaking about the leadership and that collective mind that is set on that national identity level. I say that a people, a nation, a civilization, if you want to call it that, is primitive if it is mainly ruled by lower human qualities, which really is what makes a human primitive. I want more to eat. I want more money. And now I have eaten enough. I want this. I want that. Me. More. That's primitive. But that's really the thinking of a corporation, for instance. How to make more profit and nothing else. And how to eat up the others. Next hostile takeover. Until it's just only you left, the big one. That's primitive thinking. That's animalistic thinking, I would even say. I could even say that you find a kind of parasitic thinking there, parasite thinking. That, yes, I am going to be the greatest by taking from you. If you have oil in your country, I will want to take that. Even if I have to destroy your country to get it. Take it over. Color revolution. Yeah, look how neat. And the whole world thinks that I just liberated you. See what I can do? just liberated your country from you and gave them human rights. So you see, that's what I'm talking about, and I hope you can see now what I really meant when I made that outrageous insult to the greatest, latest, and the greatest of the world. So pardon me if I offended you or somehow or other embarrassed you. But again, you know, truth prevails. We can't. I think we have reached those days now in the information world we're living in. Information is just too freely available. You can't hide, you know. So it's just one guy speaking his heart out, giving his point of view, and there are others like me, many of them, coming more and more out here. And I think that's very good. Truth-sayers, some they call themselves that. Of course, you don't become it just by calling yourself something. But that's the idea of it. And why am I saying all this? Well, not to put down anyone. Those are the bad guys, instead of those that we were told were the bad guys. No, I'm saying that we are the good guys and bad guys. All of us, we humans. And it's all about how you and I, yes, the real human beings, are us. And whether you are, you will listen to this, his name Donald Trump or Xi Jinping or whatever. You're just one of us. Come on, we know it, you know it, I know it, we all know it now. And you may be in that position, I may be in another position. First of all, doesn't mean you are greater and smarter than all of us. Probably not. Probably there are other reasons why you sit there. And today we see that too, because it's like a big cinema out there. We've seen exactly, not exactly, but we can fill in the spaces and understand pretty well what's going on. I see our cameras everywhere and everyone is speaking, and there are whistleblowers, and it's an interesting world. So better just get down on the ground, be humble about it, and see, what's my responsibility here? What can I do? Not just for me to become richer or more powerful in my bodies. That's primitive thinking. Come on. But for win-win, how can people in my nation here be taken care of, feel secure, have enough income, have a place to live, get good, healthy food on their table, and peace with other nations? Let's not forget about that. And world peace, which all nations should, of course, first of all, work for, be able to secure, which is not, shouldn't be that difficult. Well, there is the UN, sit down and talk about how we're going to do the world peace, not how can we make you all line up fighting against the bad guy. You know, that good guy, bad guy, it's a propaganda tool that's been used so much now. It's cliche, you know, it's... People can see through that. You got to find it. And then you have these people there in the East, and in case you can't see that already, they are bringing up, and they have done it for decades now, more and more their old wisdom, their knowledge that has been there, sustaining empires, real empires, not for decades, but for centuries and even millenniums. See, that's what I call culture. Old, powerful, wise culture. Wise because it has the wisdom traditions, which you can hardly see, but they are very, very visible when you are in India or China. They're old traditions, the ancient Indian Vedic tradition. And yes, there is a Muslim tradition there too. There is a Sikh tradition. There is a Buddhist tradition. And then in India, the Tao, Confucian. That's culture. And if you look at the government of China, I'm challenging you on that to do so and learn a little deeper about their ideology, their purpose, their idea about how their country should be managed, to what goal, and also their foreign policy based on that old Confucian and Taoist philosophy, which is that we should create harmony and security within our own country, but then expand that into cooperation with our neighbors, sharing our knowledge, our good know-how for how to make your country successful and happy for everyone living in it, so they can also do that. And then we trade with each other. I have this that you need, you have that which I need, and then win-win, trade. That's basically the culture we're talking about. Business culture, governing culture. And I'm telling you because I have been in China pretty much even meeting with government members and reading and hearing these words almost directly from the mouths of the top leaders of China. Well, 10, 15 years ago, but still, they are generally operating on long-term plans that they don't change all the time. So, yeah, I really would advise little me here in Sweden, you who listen, whether you're big or small, east or west, to look at these older cultures who are actually, you know, learn from them. And I'm talking here about the Chinese, the Indian culture, because they used to be the biggest ones. The center of the world was over there. A couple of thousand years ago, up to 3,000 years ago. You see, it's not that humanity started with Jesus Christ. It's just that we don't know that much about the thousands of years preceding that. But if you go to the History Museum in Beijing, just next to the Tiananmen Square, which I can really recommend. You have just rooms and rooms filled with beautiful handcraft. Really beautiful, I tell you. And handcraft, the pots and the glasses and the teapots and all of that which people use, and the jewelry, the little sculptures that were standing on their tables, all of that tell a lot about a culture. It's as if you can see it from within. And those objects there are from 5,000 years ago, 7,000 years ago, 3,000. You can see, and if you read Chinese history, you know that back in those days, there was a big culture in China. And we can understand learning about the Silk Road and all that. That these cities along the Silk Road, there were cities like Xi'an, Samarkand, you know those. They were like the metropolises of that age. Merchants came from all over Europe walking there, and they traveled by boats from Africa to Middle East, Mediterranean, trading with China and India. So here we're talking old, very highly developed cultures. In comparison with them, Europe truly seems barbarian. And those barbarians then took their ships. Oh, they managed to build ships at least, and cannons. And they started going around, blowing up everyone and robbing them, including that great, great country over there in the west that they found and took away from those primitive ones who used to live there. You see, it's a little upside down, everything. The whole story needs to be clarified a bit here to conform to reality, and I think that's a good way to start for us. Question the story we grew up with, depending on where we grew up, sharing stories, and try to get a true, objective, actually fair, an honest story about the world we live in.